Dit is SBS Dutch.
Guy Sebastian werd in één klap bekend toen hij in 2003 meedeed aan Australian Idol en het programma won. Ruim 16 jaar later is hij, dankzij nummers als Battle Scar, Before I Go en Choir, uitgegroeid tot de meest succesvolle mannelijke artiest van Australië. Ook in Nederland heeft men inmiddels de muziek van Guy ontdekt. En dus geeft de zanger volgende maand een concert in de Amsterdamse Melkweg. Onze verslaggever Paulien Roesink ging daarom bij hem langs in Sydney en vroeg hem het hemd van het lijf.
Your first concert in the Netherlands, how excited are you?
I'm really excited. And you know, I performed there once before a few years ago. Australia was asked to be a guest in the Eurovision. And I got a phone call to be the performer at Eurovision. I was like, oh, hang on, why is Australia in Eurovision? It seemed like something that was a little bit odd to me, but I went and it was such a fun gig. It's one of the most fun gigs I've ever done. And you know, I had 2 days to write and record the song. Like, cause it has to be a new song. And I was touring at the time. I wasn't in the mode where I was songwriting at the time. I was kind of, yeah, so I came home, went into my studio and I wrote this. It was the first song that I wrote. Normally, I would love to have had, you know, maybe written a ballad, written an up-tempo, written a few different options and then chosen the best one, but I had to go with literally the song that came out on the day. And it was good. It was good. It was a fun song called Tonight Again. And then I toured Europe. And I did a few shows. I was just small shows. I had an acoustic band and just a couple of players. And so now it feels good to bring my whole band and, you know, some production and, you know, tour close to sort of how I tour here in Australia. I've been an artist here for a long time and, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, there are so many countries in the world and then you end up in the Netherlands. How did that happen?
I think that's music. That's the beauty of music, and it's the beauty of the way music is nowadays. I mean, I had a song go platinum in the US without even going there. You know, like I released Battle Scars and featuring Lupe Fiasco, and then it got released in the States and it went platinum, and so it sold like 1.5 million in America. And then I went over and I did like Jimmy Fallon and I did David Letterman and Conan and a few other things, and so I think that's just the beauty of music. If it's a song that connects with people, people can find it. And also it takes some support. You know, I had Maddie and Marika who picked up the song and
that's Q Music, a big radio broadcaster.
Exactly. And so they initially picked up the song and started playing it. And sometimes it's just something like that just introduces a song to people. And I'm glad it was this song. This one means a lot to me. It was at a time of life where I was probably a little bit broken. And I really felt it. Like I had a whole bunch of people telling me, you're not good enough and you're done, like your time is over, and you know, like it was a really awful time, and I'd sort of split up from an old manager who, like, we ended up like going to court. I've never had any conflict with anyone and it's still at court. It's like heartbreaking because it was somebody who I've known and he was my manager for 11 years, and then it ended up being all this stuff that was uncovered, and it's just been a really tough thing for me. And so that was when I wrote this song. It was a song to remind myself that nobody can tell you like what you can achieve. No one can say to you, you're finished and you're done. And so that's what ended up coming out. And I'm glad that was the song that became well known in the Netherlands, because hopefully it inspires other people. You know, when people say that they're not good enough and try and put a ceiling on what they can achieve, it inspires them to set that goal for themselves.
But isn't it then hard to sing that song all the time? Because, you know, it's not a great memory,
Yeah, but I think it's always nice to remind yourself of that, you know, like even though it's not a great memory, that it's not so much about that memory, it's about coming out of it. And so it's a reminder that I came out of it, even though I was probably in a situation where I felt like I couldn't achieve anything without that, you know, like I think sometimes you're almost in a position and people will keep you in a position, whether it be a relationship or whatever it is, where they have power over you and you think that without them you can't achieve anything and you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the manipulation, it's part of the control. And then you break out of it and you realise, actually, I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. And So yeah, look, that's nowhere near as tough to sing as my last song was a song called Choir. It's been my biggest radio song here in Australia that I've ever had, and that's about a friend who passed away, and it's a fun celebration song, and it sounds like a really fun song, but the meaning behind it is about looking after each other and making sure we check up on each other. And yeah, he was in my band, and actually the last time I played in Amsterdam he was with me, and he's now passed away. And so that song was actually really hard to sing. I've had to sing that a lot. I'm singing it in a few days at our industry awards. So it's like Australia's Grammys, the ARIA Awards. I've got a host, which is new for me. I've never hosted an awards, and I've got to perform, and I'm nominated for 4 awards as well. So it's like a really big night, and I'm a bit nervous. So it'll, yeah, I've got to sing that song again. But then that's why I've just released this new song. It's called Let Me Drink, and it's just fun. It's just a fun soul song, and yeah, it features 3 soul singers from North Carolina who I'm a big fan of. They're called the Hamiltones, and then a rapper called Wale, who a lot of people know. He's an American rapper from Nigeria. It's just an incredible artist, and so it's a nice team to have on a song, the song itself is just about having a break, you know, not like just working too hard and trying to keep up with life and keep up with everybody, and just to relax and have a drink, or have, you know, do whatever you do to relax and enjoy life.
How come that choir here is like almost non-stop on the radio? My 4-year-old, she's dancing and she's happy when she hears it. And then indeed, when you listen carefully, when I'm not a native English speaker, so on, then you listen and think, oh, wow, this goes really deep, and it is pretty sad.
Yeah.
And so here you hear it all the time. I haven't heard it on the Dutch radio yet. And then before I go, it's platinum now in the Netherlands. And here, I think it was less of a success. How does that work?
Yeah, it's got any weird idea? Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of music. It connects with different people in different, you know, different countries. I mean, there's some songs that I've released that have been, you know, like it sat at number 2 in Norway for ages, and it did nothing here. You know, like it's weird. Sometimes a country is just ready for a song, and the, you know, every country is really different, and we feel things together. I think we don't realise that as a country, we actually feel things together, and we go through seasons of emotions and things collectively. And I think music's a good signal of that. Sometimes you're just not ready for something that's emotional, and you know, sometimes you need something that's more upbeat. And so something that's upbeat will work in one place, and something that's emotional will work somewhere else. And who really knows? You know, it's also the culture of radio and what they play. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe at that time you've had a whole lot of up-tempo songs that are catchy, that have been played, and there wasn't really much room for choir or something. And but also, I think sometimes it's a lot more simpler than that. Over here, when I say stuff or if I have a voice, I have a lot of media support. I'm able to explain what the song's about, you know. And I think maybe if people in the Netherlands, if they understood the message of the song, they would probably connect with it more. I haven't really been able to do that over there. You know, I haven't really done promo or gone on TV and done that. You know, before I go, I think it's quite self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional song, and you get that emotion. Maybe choir, I think once people know that it's about losing somebody, it's quite fast too. Like, there's a lot of words, and so the language barrier sometimes comes into play too. So, yeah, who knows? Very hard to predict. That's what I love about music.
But do you also, like, when you're writing new song, think like, oh, this could be successful here, or this will not work here, but I'm going to write it anyway because it could be picked up in America? Or...
Yeah, look, I mean, you know what I do is not think when I write. I think there's sometimes... I've been into a songwriting studio where they have writers in every day there's a whole lot of studios, and every room there's different songwriters with different producers, and there's this thing up on the wall. There was this like set of rules, get to the chorus before 40 seconds. Make sure there's a post-chorus like ah or ooh or something that's catchy in the post-chorus, and then make sure there's a middle eight that doesn't go, like make sure there's a bridge, like a middle eight that doesn't go for more than eight bars. And it was mind-blowing. It was like literally telling you, this is the structure of the song you can write. And what sort of creativity does that leave for songwriters? It's like so restricting. For me, I never think about what's going to work. I just write a song, and if it feels good, it feels good. I also don't think to myself, oh, that melody, that's what I'm... Should I go there? Should I go there with that melody, or should I try and think of something cooler or more unpredictable? For me, like I think sometimes what comes naturally from my heart and from what's in my head, that's where it's supposed to go. And so I just follow. There's times I wrote Battle Scars. That was when I released Battle Scars. It was the biggest song by any Australian ever in history. I was driving when that came to me. I pulled over because I had this melody, and I pulled over and I got my phone out and I hit record and I sung these battle scars, don't look like they're ever gonna wait, they're gonna fade. So I sung most of the words, and then I was like, oh, actually Battle Scars, that's a cool title as well. So at the time, I wasn't even thinking that. That just came from inside me somewhere. I don't even know where it came from. It might have been like sometimes, you know how a bus will break, and the bus will break and go, and so that as a noise in just the environment, I might hear a melody. I don't know what it's harder to say. It's all in love, but I know it's too late. Like it might trigger a whole verse, and then it leads to a song. And I think as a creative person, you're always inspired by your surroundings, and you can never know where a song comes from. But I always go, like, what? How did I write that? How did that come to me? It just came to me. Like, what? It's mind-blowing to me sometimes. I think that just literally popped in my head.
I'm jealous. Yeah. I wish I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing, but anyway.
And does it always start with you hear melody?
Yeah. Generally melody for me, yeah. I'm almost maybe 90% of the time led by melody, and then otherwise I'm in my studio and I might have bought a new synth or got a new bank of drum samples or something, and then I just start playing and I start building a track. So sometimes it'll start like that, or I'll be on the piano or the guitar and I'll play a riff. But generally it's like, for me personally, it's melody all the time. I hear melodies singing into my phone. I can kind of hear the chords. And then when I get home, I'll pick up a guitar or a piano and just put the chords that I was hearing down. Mm.
What can people expect when they come and see you?
Well, live, for me, I've always placed a lot of emphasis on being a quality live act. You know, I think for me, the best gigs that I always go to is when I go away from it and I think, wow, I think that person sings better live than they do on their records even. And that's what I strive for. Like I'm very into making the show feel intimate and like we're just in a, you know, even if I'm in a stadium or if I'm at an entertainment center here, like I want it to feel as though we're all in it together. And you know, this one for me, it's going to be a little bit different to my shows in Australia because there's 16 years of music that I've released here. I'm quite new in the Netherlands, so I'll probably just be a bit more free-flowing and throw in some covers and some things that might be a bit more familiar. So that makes it an even more fun gig for me because I'm doing new things and like singing covers and throwing in some R&B and some soul and things that I think the audience will at least know, and of course then play a whole lot of my music. And you know, I've got new music that no one's ever heard as well, but that'll probably be only about two songs of new music that I'm recording, and then it'll be stuff like Battle Scars, Bloodstone, Before I Go, Like a Drum, which I released a long time ago. Let Me Drink, the new single, of course. And then Choir, you know, like I think even though people It might not have been played as much as it's been played over here, but I think fans from, you know, of mine who followed Before I Go probably know Choir. So, I just want to make it a really fun, inclusive show. I'm treating it as though this is the first time people are ever hearing me sing.
I think Choir suits really well the time of the year in the Netherlands. You know, it's cold and wet and dark now there, right?
Yeah, it's probably time for something happy, yeah. And look, it'll give me an opportunity as well to go in and speak to some radio stations and some media and tell the story of the song as well, and hopefully people can be inspired to look out for one another and to make sure we make time for each other, and yeah.
Will you have some time to see some of the country or from Amsterdam? Will you bring your family?
No, this time I'm sort of, because my next day off is on the 22nd, I think. So I literally am working every day up until then. And so when I head to Europe, I'm songwriting. I've got some sessions. I'm trying to set up some sessions. I caught up with Martin Garrix the other day. We were in China. Cool. and caught up with him, so we'll try and get a session. I am obsessed with his new song with Dean Lewis. It's just an awesome song. And hopefully I'll catch up with Ali B as well. I hung out with him last time. He's one of the coaches on The Voice, and
yeah.
He was so much fun. And there was a guy I did a duet with.
Was it Mano?
Yeah, and he's been messaging me and stuff just to say if I'm in town, if I could give, you know, help him write or whatever. And I told him I would, so I'd like to do that. Like, hopefully I do get a day, because last time I was in Amsterdam, I took these beautiful photos. I was driving to the ocean and there was this hill. It was all this deer.
Oh.
There's all these deer on the hill, and I took this amazing photo. And it's become like a big print now.
Oh, cool.
And then I took this other photo. The sun was setting behind. Over there, you guys have these like clear houses, like a greenhouse for plants. But the sun was setting. And
we need them to grow tomatoes and everything and flowers, because it's warm. The sun, you know, when the sun shines, it keeps it warm then, yeah.
Well, I went out because I went for a drive, and the sun was setting behind the house. So it was like shining through this house. So I took this really cool photo, and then I went out what's the place called, I rode through all the flower fields.
Oh, yeah.
The tulips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I haven't done that.
It was awesome. You should do that. It was perfect season for it, and there was all these like purple and pink, like it was unbelievable. And I just rode a bike for hours through there. I was with my buddy who's my guitar player. I was with him, and we were just riding through flower fields, and we were like, dude, did you think we would be in Amsterdam? Like, we thought we'd be in Amsterdam at a cafe, like, you know, smoking a joint or something. Instead, we're sitting there riding bikes through flower fields together.
Probably like, pass a lot of 60-plus people.
Exactly. It's something you do when you're, like, old and retire. But I love doing stuff like that. I think sometimes the cliche stuff to do in a city is like, a bit boring. Everyone does that. Sometimes I want to find, like, a beautiful... You know, and we took a couple of little bottles of scotch with us, and so we were like stopping off and drinking this beautiful, because Scotland was part of the tour, and we got this beautiful scotch whiskey. So we were just like half tipsy riding through these flower fields. It was freaking awesome. I loved it.
Well, enjoy your time over there. Thank you so much.
I will. Yeah, I can't wait.
En dat was een bijdrage van Paulien Roesink. Wat weet Guy Sebastian eigenlijk over Nederland? Ga naar onze Facebookpagina SBS Dutch voor een exclusieve video met een leuke Nederlandse weetjesquiz.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.